Public Investor 12-03894. Found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. Oh, I remember my numbers. I cited them once to a FINRA executive who laughed. He said, I've never met anyone who ever remembered their FINRA dispute resolution arbitration case number. I said to him, FINRA's ombudsman, Cameron Funkhauser, I said to Cameron, you're never going to forget me, because I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. Over the course of 9 years, since August 2010, after the Securities and Exchange Commission pursued me to be their investment client whistleblower, me just a victim of Don J. Bennett, who's now known as the Hoodoo Investment Advisor. Hoodoo, as in voodoo. We know that so well. She was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. Me? I emerged as the voice for investment clients and the voice for good investment advisors. And there are some. Main Streeters receive sentences that do not fit their crimes. Main Streeters receive sentences that do not match, that are harsher than sentences Wall Streeters receive. Wall Streeters' crimes do not even get called crimes. Wall Streeters' crimes are called AWC, to which a Wall Street responds without admitting or denying, while a Main Street, the Eric Garners of I Can't Breathe, and the Freddie Grays, the you, the me's, we can only plead guilty or not guilty. Wall Street and Main Street sentences are disproportional, an affront to human dignity, an affront chopping away at America's equal justice under law. What happened to one for all? And more important, what the H-E-double-L hockey sticks is without admitting or denying? As I've said before, as I will say again and again and again until this changes, you cannot be a little bit pregnant. Equal justice under the law, unless it's Wall Street, where it's not justice under the radar of the law. This conversation is not that men and women should be languishing in prison years longer than necessary, but that men and women from Wall Street and Main Street should be languishing in prison equal time. They do not. We all saw Wolves of Wall Street. We all know the story of Penthouse Bernard Madoff, this high-flying, highfalutin lifestyle Bernard and his childhood sweetheart Ruth lived all the years Bernard was faking paper statements. We know the story of Don Bennett, side-by-side penthouse apartments, $10,000 a month for a rental cottage in Arizona, purely paying out, paid for, to establish New Mexico residency, she told people. Don Bennett was extradited back from New Mexico to Maryland. Don Bennett was not extradited back from New Mexico to D.C. Nor has the District of Columbia or the other state's securities broker-dealer firm Western International Securities and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, alleged that Don Bennett could be a salesperson in. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, said for Bennett's firm, only able to do business in the District of Columbia. So you're hearing, you're nodding your head up and down, agreeing that there is one law only for Main Street and Wall Street, but the way the SEC wrote policy, the Securities and Exchange Commission wrote policy, changing the law Congress wrote, the acts, the law Congress wrote. There is, there has been, all of these decades, a different code of rules and procedures for Wall Street, which is why Main Street goes to jail and Wall Street does not. I exposed this too. What I learned helped some people struggling with their legal limitations from having been in jail. Now we have to make sure the Wall Streeters understand they broke laws too, that cops are knowing now, and finally, how the FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the Securities and Exchange Commission claimed enforcement when SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA, Enforcement, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, has no weight under the law for pretending to be cops accountable. FINRA and the Securities and Exchange Commission employees conning investors, the lawyers working with them, must be held accountable. My simple article that I wrote, that I walked Terry McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia, that I walked Terry McAuliffe's team through the day after Terry's team lost in the Virginia Supreme Court to their Judicial Watch challenge to not restore voting dignity to felons who served their time, who paid their dues to society. My simple article gave hope, transformed lives. And like all writers do, we have our next article, our next book title lined up, and the next one after that, and so on. We have more to do, more to go, as did I. I had the next criminal justice reform steps lined up that I was ready to share, but did not. Did not when Terry McAuliffe's team pulled back on our agreement attribution, our agreement to attribute me, to credit me, a professional courtesy, the simplest of attribution, a sharing amongst professionals, but of more importance for me personally, in that because I told these truths and others 9+ years of victims ago. Wall Street went out of its way to set up a covert, tight web of lies to paint me as if I did not know what I was talking about. But I did. I do and will, as I lay out one document after the other document after the other document, until I get my name cleared and continue to bring Wall Street to its knees. I broke Wall Street's code. Wall Street plays dirty. I play it by the books, one document at a time. Now, Terry McAuliffe is the former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Terry McAuliffe continues to tease a presidential run, and I continue to not tease but to tell Terry, not happening, not on my watch. Come clean, tell the truth. Put my name on those papers in your official portrait hanging up in the Richmond Capitol. Because what's important to a president, you keep telling people, Terry, is the truth. Terry had shown up at his presser, his press conference, days after he began restoring voting dignity to hundreds of thousands of grateful men and women of all shapes, sizes, colors, and faiths in the Commonwealth of Virginia who had served their time. It was due them. And Terry went on full steam ahead, restoring voting rights to felons who served their time, who were ready. In the presser, Terry mumbled something about Madoff that was so totally 100% out of place of the rest of Terry's speech. The point that was key was crucial to parse how Terry could restore voting dignity to felons without appealing the Virginia Supreme Court loss that Terry's team achieved. A loss, not a win. A loss that, by process, protocol, needed to be appealed. He did not. They just went ahead knowing how secure they were when questions if and did come up. Now, I also knew Judicial Watch on the other side. I had already spoken with Judicial Watch, and our correspondences are really quite sassy. Just to share. But I never told Terry's team my next felon dignity restoration. I know can be taken, and I know how, and I know equally as quickly as the first step I gave the Commonwealth of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe's office. But I want my dignity restored, my name cleared. I want my attribution for that, for the Commonwealth to have been able, and still able, to say this person understands living under a cloud of what was intended to be shame, but I can explain to you at a later date why it was not a cloud of shame for me, because I took my own advice I gave a district attorney in Los Angeles decades back. But to explain, this person understands because these crimes are going on daily in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and these criminals, these constituents, this community of security, broker, dealer, firm. Crimes are covered up away from cops. These crimes are facilitated by lawyers. Can you imagine the triple crown this would have been as a credit for Terry to take with them as he left the governorship? Still, TBD. To be determined. I am persistent. I want my name cleared. More important, equally as important, I want these crimes against innocent victims to stop. And I want the accessories to the crimes, the attorneys that human traffic victims, financial crime victims across state borders with the intent of collecting payment, I want them held accountable. Two, I mean, I can explain. I can explain. It must be explained. Restoring voting dignity to someone who has left jail is one thing, but keeping criminal people out of jail with intent due to sloppiness of regulators, of legislators, is a completely different other thing. Do your job. Do your job. Restoring voting dignity to hundreds of thousands of people is grand, but the rest that can be done is even grander. With Virginia felons who served their time, who served their debt to society that has been paid, they're able to vote. Their joy, my joy. Restoring voting, this simple dignity voting that many Americans choose not to exercise. This restorative change voting was not just symbolic, it was real. I said it simple, idiot-proof, a marketing style I used when I was designing. Wall Streeters' crimes were not known because Wall Street did not call the cops. Main Streeters? Well, after their first arrest, after a Main Streeter's first arrest, cops know where to find them, each and every time. Eric Garner, we all remember that story from New York. We all heard the story of Eric Garner's 11th arrest, where Mr. Garner died. I said it so simple, explaining to Terry McAuliffe's team, cops knew where to find Eric Garner each and every time after Eric Garner's first arrest, because Eric was booked into the system. He was fingerprinted, mugshot, incarcerated, called a felon, and made off. Well, fingerprints are called for by FINRA and the former NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers. Where are they? They're not registered with the FBI. Got that in writing. They're not registered with local police. But it does say it on the public forum on FINRA's website. Fingerprints required. Where are they? Where is that database? Well, it doesn't exist. I want to make sure that database does exist. Public, made public, provided to law enforcement first and foremost on the local level, which is where crime is reported to. I meet men and women, felons never able to duck their label, having served time. One story a man shared with me broke my heart. A young dad with a child on the way. In tears, this dad told me he would not, no, never name his son after himself, who himself was named after his dad. The dad's dream ended with incarceration. The dad had served his time. The dad had come out of jail. A baby was on the way, and this young dad told me he would not put his son in the crosshairs of the law, knowing if he named his son for himself. Every time this young dad's name would be pulled, would come up in the system, would come up in a police matter, the police would pull this dad's son-to-be in too. He cried, this dad, and my heart broke. It was one of those days that I needed myself. I needed to be uplifted too. I understand. I relate to the young dad's pain. To me, the crime, the wrong perpetrated against me for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up, that FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and that the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, want covered up, wears on me at times. Enough to wonder what people ask. The question being, why don't I give up? Well, clearing my name is a big thing. I didn't do anything wrong is a big thing. And to stop these crimes is another thing. To stop these crimes against other innocent people is priority. My heart broke hearing each and every elderly victim's testimony during Don Bennett's trial in October of 2018. I tried. I feel like I failed. I tried. So I continue to do. I continue to talk. I continue to write. I continue to meet, because these crimes are going to stop. And these people complicit with intent in these crimes cover up. Well, I think there's a cell waiting for them too, with their name on it. A prison uniform with their name on it. First step, second chance. Marketers are nostalgic in naming emerging opportunities for felons to step into, for turning their lives around, impacting felons via conversations outside and in prison. It's become a community thing, forming fellowships, churches rising up, volunteers standing alongside felons navigating turnaround, post-release aiming to cease recidivism, aiming to cease destructive crime and incarceration that shatters families, friends, and neighborhoods. It's become big business. Men and women leave prison, and these men and women take off prison uniforms, put on fresh clothes, ready to live their lives on the outside. But on their inside, they feel still like felons, imprisoned, labeled, restricted in things they do or cannot do. Reform is overdue. Putting Wall Street criminals behind bars where the Wall Streeters belong, into the cells being left empty with the rapid repeal of incarcerating low-level drug crime criminals. Big business. Green Bay Packers nose tackle Kenny Clark and Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Chris Long have been awarded for their work with felons. Kenny Clark was part of My Cause, My Cleats, supporting fellowship programs, supporting prisoners, and family communications between prisoners and their family. There are 2.2 million Americans in jail or prison. One in three American adults has a criminal record, which limits their access to education, to jobs, to housing, and other things they need to reach their potential outside of prison. 65 million adults have a criminal record. 2.7 million children have a parent behind bars. 95%, more than 600,000 men and women are released from prison each year, returning to their communities. And out of those 600,000, 2 out of every 3 released prisoners will be rearrested within 3 years. There are more than 180,000 people in federal prison in America. 40,000 federal prisoners are released each year, and 30,000 people are arrested every day. It took 50 plus years to hear about, to arrest, to convict recidivist criminal Bernard Madoff. Of course they knew, as Bernard said. Don Bennett's crimes, covered up as AWCs, without admitting or denying acceptance, waivers, and consents since the 1980s. And these are two out of countless around the country that do not get caught until something happens. And that is how they get caught, because something happens. Alice Marie Johnson, a short time ago, was 21 years into her life sentence at FCI Aliceville, located in Alabama. Alice graced the State of the Union with her presence, an invited guest from the President of America, sitting in the President's balcony. Alice was seated next to Jared Kushner. Jared and Ivanka were pivotal in the great-grandmother's release from prison having served 20 years when President Trump commuted Alice, a first-time offender, sentenced to life imprisonment without parole for her involvement in a cocaine ring. The quantity of cocaine up to 3 tons would now be worth about $85 million. Now, Alice had no prior criminal history, and violence was not a factor in Alice's case. And I'm not going to plead Alice's case, just share it. Alice's guiding angel in real life became Kim Kardashian. Seeing a tweet coming across her feed, Kim is quick to tell that she hit forward to her millions of fans, her base. And Alice's turnaround is outside of the norm of most inmates. Alice's memoir is being released May 21st by Harper, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. It's called Afterlife: My Journey from Incarceration to Freedom. The mother of 5, the grandmother of 6, the great-grandmother of 1, convicted for drug offenses, is now receiving offers for film, offers for television, and life rights that she sold to Endeavor Content and One Community. The financial details are not being disclosed. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, had his own personal story of the impact of criminal justice reform that drove Jared. Jared recalls visiting his father in prison. The arguing U.S. attorney was Chris Christie. We all know that and remember that, and I remind people, look at that. Chris Christie, who wanted to become president, should have known that crimes fed to him, to the U.S. attorney, by the SEC were curated in a way to make the SEC look good and to make the investment advisor, the investment clients, look bad. To this day, Jared carries a wallet that his father made for Jared in jail. Earlonne Woods, his story became popular when the actor and co-host of Ear Hustle, a podcast, he got his prison sentence commuted. Felon Gone Good is Earlonne Woods. Woods, co-host on NPR's Ear Hustle podcast, talks about life inside San Quentin Prison. Co-hosted with the podcast with Nigel Poor, a San Quentin volunteer, Woods was serving a 31-to-life prison sentence. Wood tells us that he was in his 20s when Woods was sentenced for participation in an armed robbery attempt in 1997. 2018 California Governor Jerry Brown commuted Woods' sentence. 2018. Woods, now 47, says, after 21 years in prison, Governor Brown, the great governor of California, decided I served enough time, commuted my sentence to be released forthwith, immediately. Right now, it's time to go, time to walk out that gate, which he did, to where Mama, 70-year-old Mama's been waiting to see her son, Earlonne Woods, walk free. Woods' podcast tells tales of inside the penal system. Woods' podcast humanizes what Hollywood tales glamify, gives interpretations of. Woods gets trust, sharing, and soul-bearing behind the bars because Woods is a felon, or was a felon, too. Getting insights the best of Hollywood storytellers could never dream up, make up. The meaningful stories from behind bars, the real stories. Earlonne Woods put a face on men and women that were put into jail. Well, Hollywood does not put a face on the men and women of Wall Street that do not go to jail. I agree. When Woods explains his podcast makes prisoners human again. But of course, Woods says people change. Little things that Hollywood would not think of, Earlonne Woods shared. Little things like taking a bath after years of stand-up showers behind bars. Oh, it's a luxury. You and I don't list as a priority, but it was a priority to Earlonne coming out of jail. Woods does say people in prison grow up. They do, he said, something Governor Brown notated in Woods' commutation letter, that Woods is no longer the man he was when he committed this crime, that Woods is a positive example, able to shift, able to segue to tales about reentry into society, freed after years behind bars. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com, and please, please do LinkedIn. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live their life you never dreamed of off of your time invested and your dime earned. We can lift this matter together. This matter has to be in the forefront of politics. It's nowhere on the radar at this time. I want to see your papers. Please, I want to hear your story, your arbitration, your lawyer that took you into FINRA arbitration. I want to hear these facts, these details. You deserve better. We all do. So share our podcast, share it widely and wisely. Until next time.